Hello, and welcome to the Osterman Research Podcast. I'm here with Mark Kirstein of BitTitan. He's the VP of product for the company. Mark, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, Michael. Thanks for having me.
So what do you do at BitTitan?
That's a great question. So VP of product can mean a lot of different things depending on the company you're at. But here at BitTitan, what I do is I run both our product management organization, which drives product direction, strategy, and vision, as well as our engineering organization and our customer success organization.
Okay, great. And so BitTitan is in the business of migration. What have you seen over the past year in terms of the migration to new platforms, especially Office 365? And I'm talking about sort of the pre-COVID-19 days. What were you seeing in terms of those migrations?
Yeah, sure. You know, I think over the last year has been really good in general for migration companies, BitTitan in particular, right? We've seen a strong and steady growth as we continue to see kind of double-digit growth. But what's interesting is when I look at kind of the migration market in general, and as you ask, like specifically around Office 365, we see a couple different things, right? One is we see kind of a large portion of the market being what we call cloud-to-cloud migrations. And for us, that's more than 50% of our business, right? Think of it as tenant-to-tenant. And then the other portion of our business is really the traditional on-prem to cloud migration scenario. And both of those segments of our business are continuing to grow, right? Recently, Gartner comes out with these annual reports, and Gartner even talks about the fact that only 70% of publicly traded companies globally are still on-prem, right? So there's still a ton of migration to the cloud. When we think about migration specifically to Office 365, you know, we do know through industry data and statistics that for every one user that moves to G Suite, two users move to Office 365. So we do see that in our business, and we see that generally in the business that Office 365 continues to outpace G Suite in a 2-to-1 ratio. But when we look at kind of the tenant-to-tenant or cloud-to-cloud migration market or space, that's largely driven by a couple different reasons. One is that as the cloud providers, both Microsoft and Google, continue to expand their data centers globally, what we see is we see companies actually migrating from their content or their data from one data center to another for various different operational reasons, latency reasons, costing reasons or whatnot, right? As Microsoft opens a data center for Office 365 in Canada or South Africa or France, customers that are maybe on the global tenant want to move to something that's more regional based, right? That's one reason. The second reason that people move from cloud to cloud is maybe I've been in the cloud for years and I'm on G Suite. Maybe they have a new CIO or a new CTO, or they're trying to do something different in their business and they want to migrate from G Suite to Office 365 or even vice versa. We see both, right? And then the third main reason largely is from a M&A perspective, right? Mergers, acquisitions, and divestitures drive a lot of the cloud-to-cloud migration market as well.
That certainly makes sense. So, you know, and speaking of the M&A market, given that many businesses have seen their valuation drop in recent weeks, some are speculating that maybe there's going to be a big number of acquisitions when businesses really get back to normal, when business conditions get back to normal. You know, that may result in a big increase in migration activity. Do you agree with that notion?
Yeah, you know, I'll tell you, I wish I really had a crystal ball to better understand how COVID-19 and the pandemic are going to impact the global market in general. What we do see, and I think that's kind of interesting right now, because, you know, our business is in many ways tied around the M&A market. What we do see is we do see a number of M&A still going forward, right? Candidly, we also see some that are being postponed. Or delayed, whether that delay is 3 months or 6 months or 9 months, really, I think largely depends on the industry, right? Retail and hospitality, travel, leisure, restaurants, that sort of stuff. Obviously, we all know that market, that industry is just being crushed right now. So how that changes the M&A landscape when we come out on the other end of this is yet to be seen. When you look at other kind of traditional brick and mortar businesses, they're actually thriving in this market. So that'll create new dynamics. So what I actually envision is I see some of the current M&A activity that was going to take place is either going to move forward, get postponed, or quite candidly, is just going to go away because the M&A doesn't make sense anymore in the new economic model. And so that portion of percentage of M&A activity, and there's studies and reports out there that about there's been a decrease of about 30 to 40% in M&A activity, will then ultimately be replaced by new M&A opportunities that maybe didn't exist pre-COVID. So do I see an increase in M&A activity after the crisis? Yes. Is it significant? That's hard to say, but I do think that that will drive an increase in migration activity for sure.
Yeah, it certainly makes sense. So if you're an organization that's considering a migration, what are the key, what are the fundamental issues that you need to consider during a migration?
Yeah, so when we think about BitTitan, we think about what we do, right? We're all about helping our partners enable their customers, right? So our business is really focused on managed service providers, IT service providers globally. We do business in like 187 countries globally. We have a network of over 20,000 partners. We help them enable their customers to realize the full value of the cloud. A lot of people think that when I'm moving to the cloud, it's a big lift and shift. And I think, unfortunately, when you do that, people don't realize the value of the cloud. And that comes from three things. One is the first thing is assessing, right? We think about assessing my situation, my environment, what's going on, right? Think of that as an analogy like cleaning house, right? If I said to you, Michael, hey, you're moving next month and you're moving from house A to house B, would you just pack everything up in your house and then move it as is? Or would you think, hey, here's an opportunity for me to do a little bit of spring cleaning, figure out what I really want or need, and then move it? That's a big portion of making a successful migration happen, which is making sure you've done a good job of cleaning house, assessing your current situation and environment, understanding the data you have, what data you want, what data you don't want, clean it up before you migrate it, right? And make sure you have a clear timeline on what that looks like. The second component of it is deploying to the cloud. And a big part of that is migrating the data, actually doing the work. But really, when you think about something like this, you're undergoing a large change management effort and initiative, right? You're changing how your business operates. You're changing how your business works fundamentally to its core, right? So you need to make sure you're following good change management practices, making sure you're communicating to the organization clearly, letting people know what are the goals, what are you trying to achieve, why are you doing this? And making sure that you enable that organization to understand the way that they operate will be fundamentally different. The tools they're using are different, right? A lot of reasons people move to the cloud is, you know, a couple different reasons, cost savings, but also increasing productivity. If you don't train people, you don't train your organization on how to use the new tools, you won't actually see a productivity increase. You'll actually see a productivity decrease. And the third thing is just making sure you have culture champions tied to that. And then lastly, what do we think about? We think about once I'm in the cloud, how do I manage it, right? I think about governance and security. They're critical components of your overall strategy. Making sure you're prioritizing securing your data and your infrastructure and making sure that the processes and protocols are well understood throughout the organization. Because how you do that now is, again, fundamentally different. So again, we think about assessing what it is I'm migrating, ensuring that I deploy and migrate effectively, right? That isn't just moving the data, but driving change management. And the third is once I'm there, how do I manage it effectively moving forward?
Very good. So what are some of the biggest problems that organizations have when they're migrating to a new platform, especially Office 365, but also G Suite?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. I think they think about the fact that they assume that everything they're doing today will operate exactly the same in the new environment as it once did in the old, right? And that isn't always the case. A really, really simple example is fundamentally how, say, G Suite thinks about documents and email. Right, that there's only ever one copy of any document in a system or a platform or one email, that actually underneath the covers, everything is tagged, right? So a good example would be that when I have a document and I think I've got it in three or four different folders, I don't really. That document is just centrally stored and it has a tag that says it's in each of these folders. Now, when I migrate it, say to Office 365, so I migrate from Google Drive to OneDrive, do I want to move that document into three or four different folders, or do I just want to move it into one? And then does that, you know, if I've got a large organization and there's a belief that documents have disappeared or moved, that can be challenging. Or think about it when it goes the other way and how we operate. So there are fundamental architectural differences in those environments. And that ties back to training, making sure you train the team and the organization on the tools and the platforms they're moving to. That is probably one of the biggest things we hear. And then the other is again, going back to making sure we do assessments and you have visibility into kind of what that new environment looks like and understand those hurdles up front. I think a lot of it comes down to planning and people just not thinking about what they're doing.
So finally, what advice would you offer to an organization that's considering a major migration project?
Lots of planning. Again, planning, change management. But I think the other big thing is focusing on critical content first. A lot of organizations try to move all of it at one time or don't think of orders of priority, right? In our general life, when we want to do something effectively, we try to prioritize our work and make sure we're getting the most critical work done first, right? So I think about migrating email and critical content first. Plan to migrate that stuff in a way that makes sense so that you can ensure that your team and organization gets up and running very quickly. Also think about potentially segmenting the work that you do based on teams or groups or other particular workloads, right? Think about it from an organizational perspective. Am I migrating everyone in the business, or do I want to first migrate the engineering team and then maybe migrate the finance and legal teams, right? Think about that and think about why and how that affects how the business operates, right? Migrations not done well can be disruptive to the business, right? The whole premise of why we want to move to the cloud is to improve productivity, increase levels of security, increase accessibility, and enable people to work from home and drive a better business continuity plan, right? But if I'm doing that in a way that isn't structured or planned well, I can actually impact all of that. Again, the timing of a migration is important. You know, as we think about many organizations that are currently working remotely and using products, you know, like SharePoint or online or SharePoint online and OneDrive, you know, that's kind of skyrocketed in the last few weeks as a result of COVID. So what we see is a large use and heavy usage of kind of network bandwidth during peak hours. Oftentimes people just try to migrate. We really recommend migrating your data and your content off peak hours. So again, you don't saturate the network and impact employee productivity. And the last I'd say is if it's an organization trying to migrate to the cloud, don't be a hero, right? Bring in the experts, enlist help, right? We have a massive partner network of people globally that have done hundreds, thousands of migrations, enabling people to get to the cloud and understand all of these pitfalls that exist, right? Leverage that. Don't try to be the hero of your organization. Like, I think one of the great ways is understanding what your skill set and your capability is. Leveraging partners that can bring in best practices is I think, one of the best things you can do.
Makes a great deal of sense. Yeah. Well, Mark, thank you so much for being with us here today. I really appreciate your time and the great advice, and look forward to our next discussion.
Yes, thank you, Michael. Appreciate it.
Great. That wraps up the podcast. Thank you so much for listening.